So, Lord, let's just go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful to be here tonight. Lord, we come before you asking for you to teach us tonight, Lord. May you bring the lesson you put us in my heart to be a help to the people, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will bless the people, Lord, tonight. And I ask, God, that you'd have your will in this service. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the swords. They were wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented. You may be seated. We live in a time when it seems like there's just great stress on every hand. You have stress at work, and you have stress at home sometimes. Sometimes you can have stress at a restaurant. And you go to Walmart, and there's people working there that's under stress. I went to the eye doctor this week, and I went to go get glasses afterwards. When I went to pay my portion, while the girl that was at the computer, she was really having trouble and really flustered. She was trying to ask for help, and then she kept apologizing to me, and she just seemed like she was under so much stress, you know. I told her, I said, computers are like that. They just, sometimes they don't do what they're supposed to do for no reason at all, you know. We've come to an age of more modern technology, and the more modern technology we get, sometimes the more crippled we get because we don't know how to operate without it. I was talking to one of my daughters the other day, and we're talking about doing research on different things, and I told her, I said, when she was little, we didn't have the internet, and so all the things that I'd done research on was books I'd buy and going to the library and looking up things and looking at these things called microfiche. And how you would go to stores to try to buy books on the subjects you wanted to learn about. Now you can just get online and Google it in and find whatever you want. It's a blessing and it's a curse. It's off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so you always anything that comes off in there always has a good to it and a bad to it. I'm happy to be saved by the grace of God, aren't you? I look around in the world and I see the way people are. There are people that are just miserable in their lives, and they're stuck, it seems like, and they try to do things to make you think they're happy and they're all right and that, but when you really get to watch them, you realize there's not so much, and that didn't mean that they don't have anything. There's people that rich people that are miserable. People's got, you know, everything you could think of, and they're miserable. They're depressed. You know, they're driving Maseratis, and they're depressed. And so money or wealth or belongings, it doesn't stop the pressures that we live under. And we live in an age, it's supposed to be a great pressure. It's supposed to be a great demonic pressure that we're living under. But the pressure isn't like what I'm going to go over tonight about these martyrs and so forth and this persecution of the early church. But their pressures, the pressures on them was different. And not to diminish their deaths or what they suffered or what they went through, but they had to make their stand, and they made their stand. Many of them, most all of them, were put to death. You know, so they just stepped from one dimension to another, and it's over. Right. And, you know, some of them didn't live long lives or didn't live long as Christians before their lives were taken. And it was these emperors and rulers that they were under that were anointed by hell. And they were anointed to bring a persecution against the Christians and against God's people. But know this, the way God's people were able to stand was because they were anointed. They were anointed to be able to make these stands. They were anointed to be able to stand in the face of death and say, I will not renounce what I believe. Knowing the punishments and so forth that they would receive. We mentioned one of these rulers, I think the last time, last Thursday. His name was Titus Flavius Domitianus. And he reigned 15 years in Rome. And he was so cruel and such an authoritarian that even the Roman Senate didn't like him. And they say he killed his own brother, and he killed many of the Roman senators, because if they didn't agree with him, he just killed them. And, you know, if he was that way with his own people, then you can imagine then how he was when it comes to the Christians. And he, in his reign, he made a proclamation that he wanted to obliterate the lineage of David. Now, you think about that. We know that through that lineage was to come Christ. So you see where the devil was set against stopping this promise that had been made from being able to come to pass. And it looked like that he could be successful. He would seize their properties, and he one of the martyrs that was martyred under him was named Simeon. And then, of course, we talked about St. John and how he tried to have him killed, but it just wouldn't take. So he banished him to Patmos. He even banished some of the relatives of the senators. One daughter of the senator, he banished her. And anybody that accepted Christianity, why, he was out to be cruel to them and kill them. And he made a law that any Christian that was brought before the tribunal, the only way they could escape punishment was to renounce what they believed. So you see that they, as the Bible said, they not accepting deliverance that they might receive a better resurrection. And now I know I read this scripture out of Hebrews, and some of it applies, some of it, these people died long after these things were wrote, some of them. And because Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and some of these individuals, they died after Paul. And during this emperor's reign, there was various tales that were published. They would say that the Christians had indecent nightly meetings, that they were immoral, that they had a turbulent spirit, rebellious spirit, that they were hostile toward the Roman Empire. It was rumored that the Christians murdered their own children. That was another fable or tale that was told. It was said of them that they were some of them being cannibals. So there's all these false things being spread about them. And then if there was a famine or a pestilence or an earthquake that hit any of the Roman provinces, they blamed it on the Christians. So what we call today natural disasters and storms and all this stuff, they blamed it on the Christians. It was because of them. And spreading these falsehoods and everything, it multiplied the number of informants. And there would be people that would, for the sake of gain, would readily inform on anybody that they thought was a Christian. And so there was many people put to death in that way under his reign. He had various types of punishment that he inflicted on the Christians. Besides imprisonment, he would use the rack. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with what the rack is, but it's a long, flat table light that they would lay them on and strap their ankles and strap their wrists. And they had like a ratchet type system on there that they would slowly pull their shoulders out of joint, and their hips and their knees and all their joints. And they said that they could hear tendons pop and muscles tear and bones break. And when they would do this, they would usually be torturing one and having others to watch the torture, other Christians, that they were being tortured by watching their own fellow Christian being tortured. And then there was searing, which, you know what that is, using something like a hot iron, something that's made hot in the fire, and then they'd sear their skin with it. A lot of times they did some of these things while they had them on the rack. And there was burning, boiling, and scourging. You know, scourging is to be whipped. And hanging and worrying. Worrying is where I described to you last Thursday, where they would take and have them worried to death by like wild dogs or something, by sewing them up inside a dead animal skin or something. And then once they had tortured them to death, they wouldn't let their relatives have the bodies to bury them or anything. And they wouldn't let them have their remains. And if you want to write this down, if you want to look at it later, in Acts chapter 17, Paul, that's where Paul is in Athens on Mars Hill. And he's there, and they have this altar to the unknown God. And Paul tells them, I'm here to proclaim to you who that unknown God is. And there in Athens, Paul converted a man that was studied astronomy and different things. And he converted him. His name was, if I could say it right, Dionysius. Dionysius, the Areopagite, something like that. He was from Athens. Anyway, in Acts chapter 17, verse 34, this saint is mentioned by name. This Christian that I'm telling you about. He's mentioned by name in Acts chapter 17, verse 34. And he was a pastor. He became a pastor in Athens. And he did, because he had been an astronomer, he'd done some studying about the eclipse and things that happened during the crucifixion of Christ. But he was a pastor, and he had a lot of converts, and he discharged his duties very seriously, with great diligence. He was beheaded by this emperor because of his everything that he was doing. There's another one that's Nicomedes. He was a Christian there in Rome, and he did many things to preach the gospel and to spread the gospel of Christianity. And he visited the afflicted, he comforted the poor, he visited those that were imprisoned by the emperor. He confirmed the faith of many, and for his actions, he was seized by the guards of this emperor, and they scourged him to death, which means they whipped him till he died. And I don't know, it's just the things that they were able to face, you know, something. There was two, they're always mentioned together, if I can say their names right, Protasius and Gervasius. They were twin brothers. And they were always together, that's why they were always named together, and spreading the gospel, and doing all they could for the work of Christ. And they were seized and scourged and then beheaded. Now, some writings say that they don't know what happened to them, but other writings say they were scourged and beheaded. And of course, many of these, you know, of course, the Catholic Church then claims them as their saints. And they claim them as their martyrs. Martyrs of the Roman Church is what they say in some of the writings that you read. But these, if you want to really read about many of these things that I've went over, get the Fox's Book of Martyrs and read it. And because it's all in there. And I've read that, and then I do a lot of research online in different places, looking these individuals up to see, find all I can find about them. And they were, Milan was where these two twin brothers did their work. That was in Milan. And then there's Timothy. And we all know Paul claimed him as his son in the gospel. And Paul thought highly of Timothy. Paul said that there was nobody more like him or more set in mind as Timothy. And these different ones that I've named, I don't mean to backtrack, but these different ones that I named, many of them, Paul baptized them and converted them to Christianity. And but Timothy, both his parents, his father and his mother, were Christians. And his mother and his grandmother are mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Eunice and Lois are mentioned by name by Paul. But his father and his mother and his grandmother were all Christians. And so Timothy was raised in a Christian home. So his foundation from the start was being a Christian. And what Paul did was, Paul ordained Timothy to the ministry. And we know, you know, where Paul spoke highly of Lois, his grandmother, and Eunice, and said they had unfeigned faith. And Timothy accompanied Paul a lot of places. Where I told you about in Acts chapter 17, 34, where the other man that I was mentioning about, Dionysius, it actually says there, I believe in verse 33, that many of these men, that it names him by name, but it says many of them traveled with Paul. And so there was, so it mentions it there, but Timothy was one that did travel with Paul. And he also traveled when Paul and Silas were together. He traveled with the two of them. And with Paul and Silas, he helped compose the two epistles of Thessalonians. Because Paul had sent, prior to that, Paul had sent Timothy to Thessalonica because of the great persecution of the Christians was there. And Timothy was sent there to try to help them. And so when Timothy returned, he helped write the books of Thessalonians. And went to visit a lot of the different churches that Paul had established, church in Corinth, and he became at one point pastor of the church in Ephesus. And he visited Jerusalem. His father was a Gentile. And this is why at first some of the Jews had a little trouble with him, or trouble accepting him, I mean. His father was a Gentile. His father was Greek, but his mother was Jewish. And so he was half Greek and half Jew. And but that's why at first they didn't want to quite accept him, because he was Greek, you know, by his father and that. But, you know, I'm so glad that the piousness and self-righteousness of some people doesn't stop the spread of the gospel to God's people. Sometimes people get a little bit too lifted up. I've seen times around the message where they were always looking down their nose at anybody that believed a little different. You know, friends, look, there's going to be other people saved. There's the people that's going to make up the bride, yes, of course. But there's going to be other people saved. And we should never look down our nose at nobody. Always be respectful. You know, there's so much disrespect of Christianity. And they don't, in this nation today, and they don't care what church name they go under. They're Christians. They're disrespected today. And I'm not saying that we've got friends on any side of the politics, but there are some parts of the politics that are dead set against Christianity. And so we've got that to contend with. But Timothy, when Paul was confined in Rome, Timothy went to Rome, and he stayed with Paul for a while and helped Paul. And it's kind of got to understand the imprisonment of Paul there. Paul, while was kind of under something called like house arrest. So some of the time he wasn't actually in like a dungeon or jail like that. He was under house arrest. Couldn't go anywhere, you know. But he could have visitors. And so Timothy was one that came and spent some time with him while he was in Rome. And Paul was, and thank God, for whatever reason, Paul was provided with things to write so that he could write these letters to the different churches, and writing encouragement to them and guidance to them, and writing about the things, like I've said when I preached on grace, I believe that out of everybody in the Bible, Paul had a great revelation of grace. And, that Paul would have be afforded these things. So Timothy was with him for a while. He was in Rome. After Paul's beheading, Timothy returned to Ephesus. And there he stayed and pastored in Ephesus for several years. And Timothy worked hard to get the gospel spread. And he was 30 years old when Paul made him pastor of Ephesus. So he was 30 years old, which for them during that time was quite young to be in a position of such. But there was a period of a pagan feast. And during this pagan feast, the people dressed up with masks and things and paraded about the streets in masks that were in the images of their gods. And Timothy met the procession at one point and tried to reprove them for their idolatry. Well, it so enraged them, they set upon Timothy with the clubs they had in their hands. And they beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him with these clubs. So Timothy wasn't ordered to be put to death by the emperor. This just happened this way, that in this pagan procession, they began to beat on Timothy. And his body was beat so brutally that he died 2 days later from the wounds. And it's a dreadful manner in which to die. But we read about these martyrs, and like I said, they were anointed to be able to withstand. The Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And Brother Branham mentions this scripture in times when he's going through the seals and when during the mention of the things that happened during the church ages. When he goes through the church ages, he mentions this because there is, in every age, there was the enemy rising up in one way or the other to come against the believers. And of course, we know, according to seals, there was four horse riders that went throughout these seven church ages. And each rider, what it represented was, it represented an anointing that was on the people that were not Christians to be against the Christians. But Brother Branham brings this out that, but at the same time, God always anointed his people to be able to withstand the enemy in their day. So, you know, I said that the things we face, you know, it's hard to think that, as the prophet said, that when we get to the other side, there'll be some from these ages, from this first age, that'll come up to us and say, how did you make it through the age you were in? Because the age we're in, it's so easy to stray. It's so easy to let down. That's where our pressure's at. Our pressure is in keeping us so busy, we don't have time hardly for the Lord. We don't have time for our own Christian walk. We stay so busy. And, you know, believe me, I know when you're going through something, one of the and you're just really having a hard time, you're looking for a way out, sometimes the last thing you want to hear is somebody say, have you prayed about it? Because you know the answer is, no, I haven't. And but we know that's what we need to do to withstand the enemy in this day. Brother Branham said that prayer was the most powerful weapon that the Christians were given. He says in one place, he says, it even changed the mind of God one time. And he was speaking about the man in the Bible that was told to get his house in order. He was going to die. And that he asked for a few more years and God granted it. And, but he, according to what the scripture says, he should have just went on. Not asked for any more years. And, but it's, you know, they had a lot of things to withstand in there, but there's a lot of visual things to withstand today. Even more so than what it was back then. And you've got half-dressed people all over the place, and we're getting into the weather starting to turn a little bit. We had some nice weather today. And as soon as you get just a little bit of nice weather, people start stripping off. And, you know, it's, you hate to see this on every hand. Oh my. I was so touched by reading about these martyrs and the things that they went through, and realized that had they not made their stand, then the gospel could have been stopped. But because they were able to make their stand even in the face of death, it made Christianity just spread like wildfire. You know, you would think it would be the opposite. You would think them being tortured and put to death and all these different things happen to them would make people say, boy, I don't want nothing to do with that. But that wasn't what happened. Because it wasn't the torture the people were looking at. What they looked at was the faith that these people had. Faith to stand in the face of death and say, I'm not going to renounce what I believe. I'm not going to renounce my faith. I believe in this. Hallelujah. Now think about, of course I mentioned him back in the first service, it was about Stephen. But I think Stephen sitting there and saying, the heavens opened up and I see the right hand of God. You know, here he is being stoned and he's looking into heaven. And it's just, it's terrible, the things that happen. And I know it you when you think about it, sometimes it just really grips your heart. But it was their faith that helped them to stand. And because of their stand, let the gospel spread to where you and I are today. That they, I look at that and think, you say, well, they died for Christ. They died for you too. They died that the gospel would get to you. Amen. Let's stand.